I'm inspired to be here.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad you know Jesus.
Oh, yes. Thank God. Thank God.
I may know she'll make a way where there is none.
That's right. Amen.
I may know you can't make it without it. Amen. God has been so good to me. How many times that He has saved us from accidents and saved us from troubles.
Saved us from ourselves.
Amen. God has been so good.
Yes. Amen. So good.
I don't deserve Him.
That's right.
He's been better to me than I deserve tonight.
Yes,
but I thank Him for His grace and His mercy.
Yes.
And His kindness.
Thank you for your grace.
And just give us another day. People went to the graveyard today. People are in the hospitals that never had never been sick before in hospitals today. But we're able to be in the house of God. To worship Him. Well, if you have your Bible, amen, I don't know if we'll teach, preach, or preach, or whatever. We just want to obey God.
Amen.
Physically and body. I'm not doing the best tonight, but I'm glad to be in church.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
It's better sitting at home worrying about it. Very familiar scripture. Amen. Verse 14 of Matthew 17 reads like this. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him. This needs to be turned down. It's going back. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Let me back up and read that again. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for all times he's fallen into the fire and all into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples. That really gripped me today. When he said, I brought him to thy disciples. And they could not cure him. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. He didn't spare them, did he?
No, he didn't.
How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. If I say, and Jesus rebuked the devil.
And Jesus rebuked the devil.
And he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour.
Yeah.
Amen. His disciples came up to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out?
Yeah.
And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. This is his disciples he's talking to. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain and remove thence yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I went down to the feed store today and I got me some mustard seed. Would you see that everybody gets one, Brother Mark? Now be careful, because it's so small that you may lose it. But if you do, we got another. The lady put some in the thing to weigh it, and she said, "How much do you want?" I said, if just what you put in there to weigh it shows up tonight, we're going to have a big crowd. But I told her, I said, just enough to give the folks. And look at that seed. Would you look at it in your hand? If you don't have good eyes, you might not see it. If I took my glasses off tonight, Brother Daniel, I couldn't see it. That's how small it is. But Jesus said, if you have faith as of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed." And it's gonna move. Now when you look at that seed in your hand, I don't know about you, but I said, "Lord, that don't look like much faith." That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. It don't take a whole lot. You just got to use what you got.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I bought one that's already, I wish I could have bought one today that I should have told Brother Brown to bring me one, a big mustard plant. But I bought this mustard plant. From that little bitty seed that you got in your hand, that right there came from it. And that right there will get big enough. You may be seated. That right there will get big enough that it will spread out. I've seen them spread out this big around. And the Bible said that the fowls of the air can come and rest underneath that bush. It's from that little seed. Jesus said, "You perverse generation." His disciples said, "Why couldn't we do it? You give us power to do it. Why couldn't we do it?" But as we get into the Word of God tonight, some of these things only come by prayer and fasting. Now, just prayer alone, prayer will do the job. Prayer is the key to it. But if you want it really bad enough, you'll shove that biscuits and gravy back from you. You'll shove, amen, that porterhouse steak back from you. And you will fast and pray to get what you want God to give you. I've had to push the plate back. Anybody push the plate back? I don't look like I pushed it back in a while, but I have pushed the plate back. And I try to tell nobody, you know, somebody, they think I'm sick if I'm not eating. And that's normally not right. If I'm sick and don't want to eat, there's something wrong. But my problem is that when I fast, I don't want nobody to know that I'm fasting.
Right.
Amen. And I get up and wash my face and go about my day just like any other day.
Right.
Now, I know I've heard these preachers say they went on 51-day fast and just drinking water and I honor them for that, but I'll be honest with you, I've never made it that far. Most I've ever fasted I fasted 11 days without food. And then when I told my wife, I said, honey, I think I'm going to eat something. And I did the craziest thing that anybody could do. I went and ordered a salad at a restaurant. Listen to me. You don't order a salad after fasting several days. You don't order a salad. Because before daylight the next morning, I was praying for God to take me home. I was in so much pain, and I don't want to get gross, but amen. I had to stay in the bathroom all night long. And I tell him, God, I'm sorry. I should have went on another 11 days. I should have. But, you know, and so you got to fast. And you want something from God, you got to fast. The main problem is found here in verse 20. When he said, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Unbelief is what's stopping people from getting the Holy Ghost, stopping people from getting deliverance, stopping people from getting their healing, because of unbelief. I told you a couple of weeks ago when we taught on prayer that Jesus had to take a man outside the city and pray for him because of the unbelief that was in the city. So when he took him outside of the city, amen, he laid hands on him and he prayed for him. You know, Jesus prayed for him. You'd think that boy, he'd have got it right then, wouldn't you, Brother Daniel? But the Bible said, Jesus asked the man, how do you see? What do you see? He said, I see men walking around like trees.
Yeah.
And Jesus touched him the second time. If you don't get it the first time, go back for that second touch.
Because
that second touch is the one that's going to do it.
Amen.
And when he went back that second time, he touched him on the head and said, now what do you see? He said, I see all things clearly.
Yes.
Can I tell you, in my walk with God, I've had to ask God to touch me again. Touch me again. Because right now I'm not seeing too clear. Touch me again so that I can see clearly. What is the remedy? Jesus gave it. He said, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain. Amen. What mountain? What mountain is he talking about? He's talking about this current mountain.
Right.
Every one of us, I promise you, everybody in here has got a mountain.
Yeah, right.
And that's the title of this message tonight, is this mountain. Not a mountain that I had 10 years ago.
All right.
Not a mountain that my grandmother had. Amen. Not a mountain that I had when I was a child. But a mountain that I've got right now. I've got a mountain right now that needs to be removed. Hello, somebody. Everybody in here has a this mountain. Are you hearing me? No matter who you are, no matter what you own, where you live, everyone in this place has a this mountain. But can I tell you, God is sick. Listen to me. God is sick and tired of this mountain. Are you hearing me? God is sick and tired of this mountain. Because this mountain is blocking your way. Hello, somebody. God don't want the mountain to block your way tonight. Amen. I'm praying for my brother and them two boys that he's raising. Amen. If he can get them here, amen, get them here, and we'll do our best to help him pray them through to the Holy Ghost. It'll help change life. They won't want to do mischief in these things no more.
That's right.
Hello?
Amen.
That's right.
Oh, you think we can do it?
I
know we can do it.
Yeah.
Hello? Look at that seed in your hand again. You probably done lost it. Didn't you? A seed in your hand. If you can muster that much faith tonight, amen. Brother Brown, every child you've got is coming to God. Amen.
Amen.
Every child I've got, grandchildren, great grandchildren, are coming to God.
All right.
If I can muster that mustard seed faith, because He said nothing will be impossible. Nothing. All things are possible to them that believe. Did He say it?
Yes.
This mountain is not the will of God for this mountain to rule in your life. Somebody say the devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
Now say it like you really mean it.
The devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar. Amen. It's not that God isn't ready to do it in your life, church. You've got to get that mustard seed faith.
Right.
Yeah. He's ready to do it.
Right. Yeah.
It's not that God isn't able to do it. He's able to do it.
Amen.
He said He'd do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or you even think. He could do it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, He's going to. God's doing the work.
Amen.
But listen to me. It isn't that God doesn't have the power to do it. How many knows that He has all power?
Yes.
God has the power to do it.
Yes.
Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Drive that unbelief home. Unbelief. Amen, is of the devil.
That's right.
Are you hearing?
Sure is.
For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, I'm going to say it again. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain. What mountain?
This mountain.
My mountain.
Uh-huh.
Your mountain.
Right.
Your mountain. Your mountain. Your mountain.
Your mountain.
I'm saying to that mountain, slap the devil in the face with it and say, amen, this mountain is going to be moved.
Amen.
You've been pestering me. You've been pushing me around. Now I've got a mustard seed faith, and I'm going to put you where you belong.
Amen.
And the Bible said that is under your feet.
That's right.
Amen.
That's where the devil belongs.
Amen.
Under your feet.
Amen. Praise God.
Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind go about not but by prayer and fasting.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, won't hurt me to miss a few meals.
Amen.
Only thing it'll hurt is my feelings, man. They hurt my feelings. It won't hurt me to lose a few pounds. You know, you try to go on a diet, you're on the scales every day.
Yep.
And they're still the same.
Yep.
I want to take that scale and throw it to garbage, Brother Daniel. You've got to speak to that mountain.
Amen.
Right.
In your life.
Yes.
Be removed, get out of my face and my life.
Amen.
Are you here?
Amen.
That's what you need to tell your mountain.
Amen.
I don't know where you're going, devil. I don't know where you're going, mountain. Just get out of my face.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're going to end up, but get out of my face and out of my life.
Right.
I refuse to allow you back in my life again.
Amen.
Mountain. I believe it was Caleb. 45 years earlier, to Caleb, he said, I'm going to give you this mountain.
Yeah.
And Caleb went for 45 years, and one day he walked up to Joshua, and he said, Joshua, Moses promised me this mountain. Now give me my mountain. Now he had to go on that mountain, and he had to run some things and some people off of this mountain. And can I tell you today, there's some people you got to cut yourself away from.
Amen.
You can't play with the devil. You can't let the devil ride in your car with you, because if you do, pretty soon he'll be wanting to get under the driver's wheel.
That's right.
So you don't need to let the devil ride. And you need to put the devil in his place. If you got the faith of that little grain of, look at it again. That woman poured it out in there and said, Lord, I don't need that much. And that's what I want to tell you. We don't need all of these mustard seeds.
No.
All we need is one mustard seed.
Right.
Amen. And that one mustard seed says, amen, that Sister Randall's, your grandson's coming in.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Your grandson's coming in. Guess what? Not only grandson, but Becky and Perry. Coming in too.
Praise
Him.
Amen.
Praise Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise Him. Praise Him.
I look every service. I just look every service to see if maybe one of my babies will walk through those doors.
All right, Jesus.
If just one of them will walk through.
Right.
My one grandson that had a lot of problems, but he made a statement today. He said it, something to the effect that it's not about, what's going wrong, but it's what about what's going right in your life.
Yeah.
And we need the things of God to start growing in our lives.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
This right here was just that little seed that you got in your hand. And pretty soon, if my wife takes care of it, because if I take care of it, it'll die. But if my wife would take care of it, we can get a bag of mustards off of those little bushes. Because it will grow, and it'll grow. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, if you can get that mustard seed faith in your life, you will wake up in the morning, and you won't wake up saying, boy, it's another old day. I'm going to work today. You'll get up the next morning. Amen. When you get that mustard seed faith in you, say, man, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice in it. Amen. You can be happy all day. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be down and despondent. You can, amen, be happy in God. I know some church folks, they look like they got a bulldozer for a bottle of milk. And you don't know, I don't know what they've been going through, but evidently they didn't have that mustard seed.
Amen.
Faith.
That's right.
And I've learned a long time ago not to ask people when they're in that place.
Right.
How you doing?
Yeah.
Because I've had them to, man, they go off on me like a redhead on you. They go off on you. And I'm telling you, they would tell you everything that's been happening in their life. Amen. But I've got a lot of stuff behind me that I went through. But I don't want God going back and trying to move something that's all in my past.
Amen.
God moved this mountain.
Right.
You know what this mountain is to me? This mountain is coming to church and not seeing people pray through to the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And not seeing people get healed.
That's right.
And get their deliverance.
Right.
This is what my mountain is. And I fight over this mountain. And I pray. But evidently I don't even have that mustard seed. Oh, most preachers, when you get up there and say that, my God, it's going out on Facebook. Everybody tell their neighbor, Brother Watson don't even have a mustard seed faith. I hope they do. Because I'm going to see they get a mustard seed. Praise God. When people get in there, and this is what happens. When people get in their religious mode that only expects to see the traditional blessings.
Amen.
Nothing out of the extraordinary. Blessings that has been before and blessings you are accustomed to seeing. That's what people want. That's what people are accustomed to. And when you have somebody to come in that is crippled in their body and God heals them, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something. It will be noise abroad.
Yeah.
Amen.
It will be noise abroad of what happened in this little church in Dundee, Florida.
Amen.
And we need this to happen.
Yes, we do.
We need somebody to say, I heard this is a place where God heals people. And it is.
Yes.
I said, this is.
Amen.
We've had the dead raised here. We had a young man die back there, right where my brother said. We had him to die on the pew. No pulse whatsoever. And I said, church, gather around him. We got to pray. Because I told God, God, you can't let this happen on my watch.
All right.
Don't let this young man die while I'm preaching.
Right.
And we gathered around him and began to pray. And God brought him back to life. We had one stand right here dying with lung cancer. Eyes sunk back in his head. Looked like death warmed over. And if you've been in that back building back there, there ain't one part of that back building that he didn't have his hands on. Matter of fact, he mixed the paint himself that's on the inside of that building. He mixed the paint. But he was standing here and dying with lung cancer. Lungs eat up. Both lungs eat completely up. And we just said a little simple prayer. You know, when you believe what you're praying about.
Right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
When you believe what you're praying about.
Amen.
And you believe in the one that you're calling on.
Amen.
I feel the Holy Ghost, church. Amen. When you feel the one that you're calling on, and you know what God can do.
Amen.
This man called me. I was on my way to camp meeting in Georgia, and he called me and he said, I'm at the hospital. They're seeing how bad the cancer is. And I said, Brother James, I'll turn around right now and I'm headed back. I'll head back. He said, no, go on to the camp meeting. He said, they're just going to see how bad the cancer is. When they did X-rays and MRI on him, there were scars where the cancer used to be. God healed him of lung cancer standing right here. When I come to church on Sunday morning, he was standing in the vestibule and he's like this. Having a smile. And I said, boy, Brother James, You sure look happy today. He said, you would be too. If the doctor told you that all there is a scar where the cancer used to be. God healed him of lung cancer. And he lived 13 more years. And we're out there on the back of the building. We had to go up and fix that bin up there. And I almost failed picking up the ladder. Brother Dan got a lot of junk in there too. And I almost failed. He said, look, he said, get out of the way, Pastor. Let the old man go up there and take care of it. And he climbed up the ladder, went up there, and took care of it. Amen. When 13 years later, the doctor said, I'm going to check to see if the cancer has come back, because he was in bad shape. I said, doctor, he may die. This may be his time to go. But I guarantee you one thing. You will not find no sign of lung cancer in his body. The doctor came back after, and it had been 13 years, and he said, there is still no cancer in his body. When God does something, he does it right. Hello, somebody. When God does it, he does it right. God don't partially heal you. If God's going to heal you, he's going to heal you completely. And I'm telling you, I'm working on my mustard seed faith tonight because I need some healings in my body. I need my feet and my legs healed. Amen. Amen. I need God to move in that area. Amen. Other than that, I feel pretty good up until today. And I feel pretty good. But I'm not a complainer. My wife can tell you, I can be sick, but I don't complain. When I go into the doctor and they say, well, you in pain? And I said, yes, sir. He said, well, what is it, 1 to 10? I said, well, I got a high tolerance to pain. And so I said, my pain may be a 10 to somebody, but to me it's like a 3 or 4. And so, well, we got this Percocet to give you. I said, no, he ain't giving me no Percocet. He ain't giving me no narcotics. I don't need it.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I got Jesus. And if he don't ever heal me again, you hear me, children, if he don't ever heal this preacher's body ever again, he has been good to me.
Yes,
and he has touched me time and time and time again. And I'm not ashamed of I'm not ashamed to stand up. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's the power of God on the side.
Yes, amen.
I'm not ashamed of this.
Right.
If you believe, let me just back up. When people get into religious mode, they don't expect to see traditional blessing to blessing. They have seen before the blessings are accustomed to see. Let me know when we go through through our daily routines.
Yes.
Get up, go to work.
Right.
Some of us don't have to get up so early in the morning. Amen. And go home. The cycle never seems to end. It's Friday. You're happy you got your payday. You got your check. Then you go home. And honeydews have to start. I told some preachers, I said, how's it been since you retired? Well, I ain't retired. He said, the honeydews has been going ever since. But the honeydews, and you come home, and your expectation of what's going to happen in your life. But Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible to you.
Right.
If you believe this word alone, hear me today, your life would become so exciting. You couldn't hardly sleep at night for waiting to see what was going to happen next.
Right.
I'm going to close here pretty soon, but you and I can be living in a stay-tuned mode. Are you hearing me?
Right.
We can be living in a stay-tuned mode.
Yeah.
Holding on, stay tuned. This problem is just another opportunity for God to show up and reveal His power. Amen. Unusual blessings will happen in your life. I'm going to speak to this mountain. Somebody say, I'm going to speak to this mountain. No matter if it's a mountain of sickness or a mountain of debt, a mountain of loneliness, a mountain of despair, whatever it may be, you can have your mountain removed.
Yes,
you hear me? I said, whatever it is, you can have your mountain removed.
Praise God.
I'm preaching one message tonight, but everyone in here will hear something different. Every person, because the reason is because everyone has a different mountain.
Yes.
Whatever this mountain is in your life, the Bible says, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you shall speak to this mountain. Guess what, church? If you obey the command of the Holy Ghost, anointed, faithful child of the King, not of rock and roll, but of heart and soul, look at your neighbor right now. Say, neighbor, all I have is a seed on my side. Neighbor, all I have is a seed on my side. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, church.
Amen.
All I have is a seed on my side.
Amen.
If that's enough, give God some praise tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If that's enough, give God some praise in this place. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, just a little more. It's critical that all of us rule, take control of and lead our own spirit as guided by the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? God will not treat you like a puppet on a string. Do you hear me? God expects us to take charge of our own life and do a work for Him.
Amen.
The Bible says that he that does not rule his own spirit is like a city without walls. Where are you? Where are you going? How are you going to get there? And when you do, you expect to arrive at your destination. Jesus came to show himself as a God in a human form. He could have made a beeline church from the cradle to the cross if he read this right. But he came, what he came to do was to die.
Amen.
For you and I.
Amen.
That was his purpose. He could have come, he could have called 12 legions of angels to his rescue.
Yep.
But he chose to take the suffering off of you and put it upon him on himself. And when he hung on that cross, and who was it? It was Jews crying, crucify him.
Yep.
His own people, they suffered over it, and they're still suffering today.
Amen. True.
The Jews are suffering But they're still, you hear me, they are still God's people.
Right. Yes, they are.
And God is going to come soon.
Amen.
And when He does, Brother Morris, I listened to that message that you preached on vengeance is mine. On vengeance. You know, God speaks in the conscience.
Yes.
He's going to take vengeance.
Yes, He is.
On the lost.
Yes, He is.
But you and I is going to come as a thief in the night. He's going to resurrect us out of the grave.
Yes.
The Bible said the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together. Everybody say together.
Together.
With them. Yes. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Praise God. And I hate to let y'all out early. I really do. Praise God. Can we sing about another 30, 40 minutes? Praise God. Oh, God. We appreciate all of you being here. Amen. Appreciate God keeping His hand on Brother Swan on the highways.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Watching over him.
Amen.
Brother Daniel, God keep His hand on you on the highways. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I-4 and 27 is the there's more deaths on 27 and I-4 than any
yes.
other state. Amen. Amen. It's bad. Amen. When folks, if I want to go buy a car in Orlando and they say Orlando, I just ain't going to Orlando. I'm going to stand away from that. Now, Brother Swan, he could ease right through it and go through it like it wasn't nothing to it. He brought me through Atlanta, and I didn't even know we'd been through Atlanta. This is smooth. He wasn't all of that. He didn't blink in his life and let semi truck for me. Yeah. I think, man, I'd be hollering, it's out of my way.
No.
Praise God. We're so glad you're here tonight.
Amen.
Yeah, we would have had some more. Sister Taylor's been sick all week, and she probably would have came on anyway, but because of her being sick and with this kind of flu bug and all, I didn't want her out in this night air. And I told her to stay home. Sister Hagler stayed home. Told her it's best that she stay home because she's so quick to get in pneumonia. And so amen. And so, but that I don't give anybody else even a leeway. And if you're sick, you stay home. Don't bring it and give it to me. Because I got nothing on my own. I hope nobody else.
No.
Amen. But we thank you for being here. We'll ask my brother. Amen. Brother, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Yes. Lord, what?
Yes.
Will you be indeed? I will ask one from another.
Yes, sir. Praise God. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Just watch.